104.1 FM in Denver, 96.9 in Boulder. This is a special Wednesday edition with all of the stuff going on in Ramland. Had to have a show. I'm your host, Joel Cantalamessa. For the next hour, we'll talk about the Jim McElwain saga. It's hard to believe what's going on. We'll also have Tyler Shannon of the Bebold CSU organization, the impending departure of Jim McElwain, as well as the upcoming announcement, a recommendation by Tony Frank to the Board of Governors that CSU should build an on-campus stadium. That's all exciting news, but what's been consuming fans over the last couple of days is the notion of Jim McElwain leaving. Now, we record this show. Laramie Foley, the AD at Florida, flew in on Tuesday evening and has been there up until 2 p.m. today and actually flew home without McElwain. So the thought is, as we're sitting here recording this, that no deal has been reached yet. If one has, it's only a matter of time before. I think that just a few days ago, and then this is the trials and tribulations of a Ram fan. Just a few days ago, everything was glorious for Ram fans. You had a 10-1 football team getting ready to play your biggest rival, Air Force, with a chance to go 11-1 and possibly earn a berth in your conference championship. You knew that the stadium decision was upcoming, and it came. You know, it was Dr. Frank had sent out a memo to the campus community. He will be presenting to the Board of Governors on Friday. So the stadium appears to be moving forward. So many great things. And then all of a sudden, the team lays an egg in Colorado Springs, which is in and of itself completely just covered in green and gold. They were loud. It was great passion. It was great to see the fan base so involved and see the fan base flock down there. But the team played one of its worst games of the year. Just did not have it. They weren't clicking. It didn't seem like the coaching staff made very good in-game adjustments. Their offense was not a sharp team, and perhaps it's because there was some stuff going on in the background. So you have this Ram team lose, and then you find out that Coach McElwain, that next day, and who knows how often prior to that game they had been talking, but they find out that on Saturday, McElwain and Jeremy Foley had been in pretty heavy discussion for one pick all along and pursued McElwain, and seemingly comes to town with the intention of putting a contract in front of him, whittling down the buyout that's in place, a $7.5 million buyout that's in Coach McElwain's contract. I think Florida felt pretty confident that they could negotiate that down. Report people today, Tony Frank is not willing to budge on that, and I don't blame him. Why would you budge on that buyout? It's the whole reason the buyout was in place in the first place, because CSU has never, ever invested money in a coach like they did with Coach McElwain. He was the first to make the administration. He structured a contract that was a lucrative contract. $1.5 million in Fort Collins would go very far. He had all, if he has certain successes on and off the field, that salary can go up in bonuses, upwards of $2 million. But in return of that, and here's an unproven head coach. He's never been a head coach before. Buyout in return to protect their investment so that a school just can't come in and say, we want you. Sure, $1 million buyout, no problem. We've got deep pockets. $7.5 million is substantial. And as we've seen this day play out, it first seemed like there was going to be an announcement early in the morning that this is a done deal, but obviously the buyout had trying to work out this buyout. And that buyout is going to be ultimately on Jim McElwain. I mean, if Florida is deemed that they can't afford to pay that whole buyout or part of it, it's going to be up to McElwain to decide, can he afford it? Or how, you know, does Florida have the boosters that will cover it for him? And ultimately, even if Florida somehow interested in McElwain, so either way, he's going to get paid. I cannot envision a scenario where he would want to stay at this point because he's gone down the road. Now, he had me fooled. He had everybody fooled. Let me preface this by saying I have a hard time faulting Coach McElwain for taking this job, because and he's going to go to the SEC where he's been a coach before. He's going to Florida, a school that has won multiple national championships. It's prestigious. It's hard to turn down. But this really rubs me the wrong way. As much as I like Coach Mac, and as much as I understand why, this when you're accounting firm across town decides that they'd like to hire you, giving you a raise and some better perks, there's a lot more considerations, at least if you're not a completely selfish person, there's a lot more considerations. You've got all the recruits that you've brought in here. You've got the boosters and the donors who have spent a lot of time supporting you and donating money to the school because of you and for you and on your behalf. You've got an administration who stuck their neck out to give you your first opportunity and paid you very, very handsomely, doubling any other salary they've ever paid, even Sonny Lubick. So for him, his coaching opportunity is a slap in the face, if you ask me, to CSU. It's really unfortunate because he said all the right things. I bought into it. I bought into it when people were asking me about this at the Air Force game. Hey, what are these rumors? Is these schools going to come after Mac? Will he leave? And I would have bet the farm that no. And maybe to do a job, someone who believed in this place, he said he did. He said this is a special place where you can accomplish all your goals. Great leadership. He said it's not a stepping stone, it's a destination. And yet, as soon as the very first opportunity comes along, granted it's a great opportunity, I don't want to vilify Coach Mack because I personally like him. And I am very appreciative of what he's done for this university, what he's done for this football program. This thing was in the pits of despair. And he brought it out of nothing, took Fairchild's recruits and started immediately to victory. You've beaten CU twice in your 3 years here. He's done a lot of great things, and I'm appreciative, and he definitely has left this program in better shape. But I do have a sour taste in my mouth. I am a guy that's trusting, and I will say after this, I will never trust. I'm supposed to say, well, I'm always going to keep my options open. You don't say that when you're hired. You don't say it when you're in your first year. Heck, you don't say it ever. So I understand how that works, but he was so seemingly so genuine in the way he said that he wanted to be here. He wanted to build something special. And every time he talked about how, the climb, this has got the whole fan base excited. And now that has been pulled right out from under when you see that he all this time has been willing to just jump ship right away. And there's other rumors that, yeah, he's had one foot out the door over the last couple of years. I don't know, what's true and whether that stuff is true or not. This indication of his super eagerness to jump already, especially on the day where Garrett Grayson was named Mountain West Offensive Player of the Year and Coach McElwain was named Offensive Coach the Mountain West Coach the whole day yesterday when these awards came out. And that's really unfortunate. And that's just kind of the unfortunate thing with timing of all this stuff. But by the time you're listening to this show, McElwain could already officially be gone, or perhaps he's still officially the CSU coach. But if that's the case, and if it's not Florida, it's going to be someone else. I still imagine Florida is going to find a way to get that done. And I think it's a job that McElwain has earned. He earned it. It's a little bit interesting that Florida is this willing to pay that kind of money to bring in a coach that's a division. But he's certainly an up-and-coming coach, and I will, if Florida fans came and asked me, I'd swear by the guy. I like him. I think he's been a fantastic coach. He's just the kind of guy CSU needed. And now you got to figure out how do you replace him. And that's going to be a tall task. You're going to have to go out and find a new coach who is going to have to select CSU without even knowing who his boss is going to be because they don't have an official permanent athletic director in place. But that aside, I believe that CSU is going to be an attractive stadium coming on the horizon, a new beautiful state-of-the-art on-campus stadium. That is a humongous selling point. There's talent here. There's an incoming recruiting class that, if you can somehow hold it together, is going to be very, very good. So there's a lot of reasons to come here. They've got the support of the administration. The fan support's another Power 5 conference, no matter how large or small that possibility is. It's a place where coaches are going to want to come. But there's going to be challenges that go with it. And over the coming weeks, we'll talk about all those issues. And in the rest of this show, we'll talk with Tyler Shannon in the next segment about which appears to be a go, a recommendation for a go by Tony Frank, And it's up to the Board of Governors to greenlight that officially now, and there's no doubt that they will. Thanks for joining us. I'm Joel Cantlemesse on Ram Nation Radio on Mile High Sports. We'll be back after this.